The scripture reading this morning will be from Psalm 90. Again, that's Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We have finished our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Give me a little helper here this morning. Good morning. Don't see too many visitors this morning, but if you're here and you're visiting, we're glad that you've come our way. I'm not the regular preacher. I'm filling in for Mike, who is not here due to the loss of Nancy's mother. Need to keep Mike and Nancy in our prayers at this time. The lesson this morning comes from Psalm 90, which Jacob just read for us. Teach us to number our days, this is verse 12 especially. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Whenever you study for a lesson like this, you tend to gain a lot more information than you really need and learn things that you didn't actually know, and if you're not careful, it can actually take you further than you want to go into certain things. Like this psalm is actually a prayer for Moses, or at least attributed to Moses, and even the scholars don't all agree upon that. But regardless of that, David most assuredly uttered this prayer, and for good reason. Teach us to number our days. We should desire teaching from God's Word. Many don't today. You know, it's been said that you can teach an old dog new tricks. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. But I think you possibly could teach an old dog new tricks if he wanted to learn them. So that's the key, or at least part of the key for us. As God's children, we need to have a desire to learn God's will. It's amazing what we can do if we want to, if we have a desire to do it. I was going through a Facebook page the other day, and I came across a little video of a little woman, an older woman. I say older, I think she was in her upper 80s or mid 80s. And she had recently quit her, or lost her job, or quit her job, retired, and she, age was catching up with her, and she was really starting to feel it, the age, that her body ached from years of labor. And she decided to do something about it, so she took up Tai Chi. Now, she may have done some Tai Chi all her life, which is some oriental form of yoga or stretching or something to that effect. But this woman who started out and couldn't hardly touch her toes, was my understanding, got to where she was doing all these weird poses and stuff because she practiced that. She studied and she practiced at it. And she got very, very limber, and her the whole thing was about Tai Chi made her feel good again. She could feel good. She desired to feel good. She desired to do better. For us, this comes to, you know, if we want to know God's will, we have to have the desire to be taught, to learn God's will. And that will require us to put some effort into it. I guarantee you, that woman, if you've seen the things that she could do, I couldn't do them. I could not bend that way. And we don't know the Bible if we don't study it and apply it to our lives. We can't get better at it if we don't make an effort. Which would also bring us to teachers. We have a few teachers amongst us. Some of them very good teachers. We might do well to look at the heart of the eunuch in Acts 8, 30 and 31. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So the eunuch is a good example of a heart that desires, or that is desirous to learn. He wanted to be taught. He wanted to know what the scriptures meant. He recognized that he needed to understand those scriptures. We need to understand the scriptures well. We have some very good teachers. And we as students need to be willing to open our Bibles and study, and not just here. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. But 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." If anybody doesn't know, I have a new grandson. He's almost 2 months old already. Time really flies. I'm going to tell you something about this little grandson of mine. He's hungry. He's always eating. If he ain't eating, he's sleeping or dirty in his diaper. But he's hungry. And he likes to eat. And the nourishment, the food, it's good for him. It's helping him to grow. At first, the first day or two, he didn't do anything. He slept all the time. Now he's growing. His eyes are awake. He's starting to be alert. He's starting to smile. You know, all these things are happening because he's taking this nourishment that's helping his body to grow. Feeding on God's word will help us to grow. It will help us to grow into mature Christians. You know, my grandson, he is desirous for food. I'll give him that. We need to hunger and be filled with teaching from the Bible. Are we desirous for God's word? I don't put a whole lot of faith in surveys, but I kind of did a little research, and I come up with a few things that interested me on this statistics and everything of people that read their Bibles. The book that I got this lesson from actually said it was 11%, but that was a little bit older. And so as of 2014, 9% of Americans read their Bibles daily. As late as 2011, 90% of Americans acknowledged a belief in God. Yet, 75% in U.S. in 2014 still see the Bible as the Word of God. And only 28% of those take the Bible literally, believe it to be 100% truth. 21% in 2014 considered the Bible to be made up of fables and history. This tells you what we're dealing with in the world. And if you've tried to talk to people about God, you recognize that. We have a society that is ignorant of the Bible. I want to ask for a show of hands, because I wouldn't want you to ask me. But I will ask you to be honest with yourself about your study habits. Can we use improvement? What priority does the study of God's Word take in your life? How many of us open our Bibles outside of these doors? What excuses can we make for not studying our Bibles? You know, I just don't have time. I have time to do everything else, but I don't have time to open my Bible at home. Where does faith come from? Almost every one of these young children in here could tell you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith isn't going to grow unless we get the Word of God in us, if we nourish on it. To number our days. He tells us what to do, what we cannot do. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know how many days we have left. I have something here I want to read. And most of you, well, I shouldn't say most of you, some of you are familiar with this song. Came out, it seemed like, a couple years ago. First time I heard it, I was pretty impressed with the lyrics, because it made me think. The name of the song is called "Don't Blink" by a gentleman named Kenny Chesney, a country and western guy. It says, "I turned on the evening news," and I'll try to do this without cracking up, because it is touching to me. "I turned on the evening news and saw an old man being interviewed, because he was turning 102 today. They asked him what's the secret to life. He looked up from his old pipe, laughed, and said, 'All I can say is, don't blink.' Just like that, you're 6 years old and you take a nap, and you wake up and you're 25, and your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Don't blink. You might just miss your babies growing old like mine did." Excuse me. "Turning into moms and dads. Next thing you know, your better half of 50 years is there in bed, and you're praying God takes you instead. Trust me, friend, 100 years goes faster than you think, so don't blink. I was glued to my TV when it looked like he looked at me and said, 'Best start putting first things first. Because when your hourglass runs out of sand, you can't flip it over and start again. Take every breath God gives you for what it's worth. Don't blink. Because just like that, you're 6 years old and you take a nap and you wake up and you're 25 and your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Don't blink. You might just miss your babies growing like mine did, turning into moms and dads, and next you know your better half of 50 years is there in bed and you're praying God takes you instead. Trust me, 100 years goes faster than you think. So I've been trying to slow down. I've been trying to take it in. In this here today, gone tomorrow world we're living in. So don't blink. And there's a little more to it, but that's, you get the gist of it. We don't know. Before you know it, life is over. We missed it. Life passes rapidly. Psalms 95 and 6, thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are like as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Psalms 99 through 10. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they are be 80 years, yet their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Job 14:1-2. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And one of my favorites here, James, is, yeah, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I've known some strong, rough, tough people in my life. Many of them who are now in the grave. They drove fast cars. They had multiple husbands and wives. They abused themselves mentally, physically. They left no stone unturned in their pursuits of happiness, yet barely found any. Never found joy. They never knew the love of God because they rejected it. It did not seem to fit their mold. You know, I use some of these cliche things quite a bit in my life because they make a lot of sense. But if you don't know what you are looking for in life, how will you know when you find it? You know, that's the epitome of someone who's lost. When someone wanders about aimlessly, not knowing where they're going or how they're going to get there, they are lost. Death will come. Hebrews 9:27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Ecclesiastes 9:5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Some act like they're going to live forever. And we should live every day as if it were our last day. And someday, not only will you be right, but you will also be ready. A Christian knows. A Christian knows where he's going. And he knows how he is going to get there. But the uncertainty lies in when. But we know it is just a matter of time. I used to have this friend, and I'm in construction. He wore this hard hat, and on his hard hat it said, "Death is certain, life is not." There was a lot of truth in that. Some act as if they will live forever. They never account for the way they live or who they hurt. That we may apply our heart unto wisdom. We need to live wisely. Life has a lot of distractions. Many things are pulling for our attention. Sometimes it's our own fault. We get involved in too many things. Bite off more than we can chew. Get ourselves spread way too thin. Don't get the things accomplished that need to be done. You know, it's been said, and I've heard Brother Mike say it, I do believe, that wisdom sees the end from the beginning. Think about that. Wisdom sees the end from the beginning. Colossians 4:5. Let's see. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Ecclesiastes 8:5. Whoever keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. In Ephesians 5:15-16, see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In my class, back here with my young students, I asked them what they knew what that word circumspectly meant. And we kind of looked it up together. And it means to be careful, but it means more than that. To be on the lookout, to be aware. Circumspect, you could almost say it's the opposite of the devil. I mean, he walks around looking for what he can destroy, and we as Christians should be circumspect, watching around, making sure that he doesn't get us, that we don't get destroyed. Time is a precious commodity. That means it's valuable. Something that's precious is very valuable. We're limited. We only have so much of it. We need to use it wisely. We need to think things through. Time is precious. It shouldn't be wasted. We should view life as a whole. As if we were at the end of it and looking back. What would we change? You ever done that? You ever just stopped and took a moment to look back, reflect back upon your life? Say, what would I do different? What could I do different here? What would I have done differently? And maybe you see something in your life you'd like to change. What are you waiting for? The time to change it is now. Don't wait till it's too late. To apply our hearts to wisdom is to realize that some things are more important than others. God, family, others, and more. You know, we need to think things through. We need to look before we leap. We've got a lot of good young people here. And I've asked them in my class to try to go through some scenarios of what goes on in our life. And you know, this is good for adults too. You can put yourself through scenarios and look at your life and say, okay, what am I going to do when I get into a certain circumstance? What if my friends are offering me drugs or alcohol? How am I going to react? And I use that as one thing, but it's a million different things. You can put yourself in those situations to avoid sin in your life. When the opportunity comes or it arises, how are you going to react? Think about it. And on the other side of that, do we pray that God's will be done in our life? We do. We pray for God's will to be done here as a congregation. Who's going to do it? We are. We should. We need to be the ones to step up and do His will. Nobody else. Don't depend upon others. If we're all busy waiting for somebody else to do it, guess what? It doesn't get done. Do we procrastinate? Do we put things off? You know, I talked a little bit about the scenario deal. There was a show, maybe it's still on, I don't know. I don't watch that much TV, but there was a show, I'd caught it a couple times, called What Would You Do? And what they do is they get some guy to come in and set up in a restaurant or something and have a scenario play out, and they see if anybody jumps in and helps the person who's in trouble or whatever. What would you do? You know, think about what you would do in certain circumstances, and then do it if the opportunity arises. You'll be ready. Many of us spend our lives chasing rainbows, that even if we could catch them, they would be worthless to us. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't let the things that are urgent day by day crowd out the important things of life. You may wake up one day and find you have wasted most of your lifetime on trivialities. What's really important? Sometimes we need to prioritize our life. What are your priorities? Are your priorities selfish or selfless? I can't answer that for you. Your pursuits. What kind of goals do you set? Do we set? What about if we obtain these goals? You know, I had a goal one time. I wanted to go to Alaska and catch a big halibut. And I did. But life wasn't over when I got back. It was a fine thing. But that does our goals can't be the end of our life. We have to set other goals and other priorities. Was that a top priority? No. It was something I wanted to do, and I got to do it. I was glad I got to do it. But it didn't make or break my life. Are our goals realistic? You know, sometimes it's just little, simple things in our life that we do. We sing that song, it's little things. Are your goals realistic? Do you set a goal, say you want to do something for the Lord? What is it? I'm going to send out a card and a letter to everybody in the congregation. It never gets done. I'm going to make a phone call to everybody this week and see how everybody's doing. No. Pick one thing. Start with one little thing. You know, I'm going to send a card to Nancy and Mike because Nancy's mom passed. Let them know that we're thinking of them. Or I'm going to make a phone call to brother, sister, so-and-so who hasn't been here for the last couple of Sundays and see how they're doing because I care about them. Maybe someone's not been here and they're shut in. I need to go visit them. You know, set yourself a goal or a priority and do it. Don't let nothing stop you. Is God first in your life? Ecclesiastes 7:2, it's better to attend a funeral than to attend a banquet, for everyone dies eventually and the living will take this to heart. Going to a funeral can be beneficial. We may be caused to seriously consider our own death and then reflect upon how we're living. Last Sunday, my wife wasn't feeling real well. But she said, if you'll give me a little bit of time, I'll get ready, and we can just go to worship, not to study. And she knows I don't like to miss study on Sunday morning. But I said, okay, if you'll get up and get around, I'll wait. I don't want to drive two cars. We don't have to. So she got up and started getting around, and we were running late. And on the way down the road, I look up on the hill, and what do I see is a flashing red light up there. Really, it's kind of a white light, I guess. It was a fire truck, and it was way out of place. Fire trucks don't belong up on the side of a hill in a field in the grass. And that flashing light caught my eye, and I proceeded on down the road. I wondered what went on. She said, what do you think that's doing? I said, I don't know, maybe there's a fire or something. She said, we got up on top of the hill, and there was KTV or KWCH, one of these news outlets, was sitting there in front of the Fidelity Farms right there on Lake Road, which I go down every day. And then on the way in, we saw another fire truck and another ambulance come up. I wonder what happened. And about that time, we got a report on the radio about a person who had been lost in a pond out there, out by Cheney. His name was Aaron Travis. He was 30 years old. He was out duck hunting with a guy named Justin Stroot. Some of you people may know the Stroot Meat Locker. There's one in Mulvane. There's one in Goddard. Stroots are meat locker people. But Justin, Aaron actually worked at the one in Goddard. He also worked at Gander Mountain. His friends called him AT. I know because I know I work with one of his very good friends. And he's an avid outdoorsman. His obituary says, if you look it up, that he died doing what he loved, hunting. He was duck hunting. He got into a canoe to go retrieve a duck that they had shot and with his partner. And the canoe capsized at some point in time. And when you're out duck hunting, you're wearing all kinds of clothes because it's cold. And boots. It's hard to swim wearing boots, but wearing coveralls or a coat makes it even worse. Now, I don't know what he was wearing, but I know how I dress to go duck hunting. And Justin, at some point in time, turned back to him and started to go help him. And he said, no, I'm okay. I'll be all right. The story I got said that he'd make it. But when Justin got the story, he looked shore and he looked back, AT was gone. He was gone. What do you do? You know, you could say, well, I'd jump back in and go, no, the water's cold. There's ice along the shore. And you're already freezing cold. You're soaking wet too. You don't jump back in and rescue him. This man has to live with this. But worse than that, and it's bad enough, AT leaves behind a pregnant wife. Her baby is due in May. His family is stunned. All his friends. By all accounts, everybody that knew AT said he was a happy-go-lucky young man. Just couldn't ask for a nicer, friendlier, happy guy. And I seriously doubt when he got up to go duck hunting last Sunday morning that he said to himself or imagined that it would be his last day in this life. I don't think he thought about that at all. What about us? What about you? I know about me. What about you? Do you know where you're at with God today? If you're here this morning and the gospel has touched your heart and you don't want to take the chance of leaving here not in right relationship with your God, because this could very well be your last day, and you want to make things right with God today, it's not too late. We would urge you and encourage you. We have baptismal right here to do what it takes to make your life right with God before it's everlastingly too late. I want to encourage you as we stand and sing the song.